Before we hop into the message today, we also need to celebrate what God did last Sunday. Wasn't it a great Sunday last week? Come on. There was 143 people that followed Jesus into the waters of baptism. That's incredible. And it was a great Sunday. I'm still basking in what happened last Sunday. And I'm so proud of the many of you who stepped forward in obedience. And there are many others of you who stepped forward and you indicated you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, said yes to him. We're so excited, so proud of you. And just want to encourage you just to keep walking with him in your journey. You heard about some of those classes at the beginning about Alpha, spiritual practices. These are great next steps as you think about your what the next step looks like for you in your relationship with Jesus. So today we kick off our series At the Movies, and we've been doing this for the last several years. And some of the reasons we do this is because that using recognizable stories is a biblical concept. You know, that Jesus would often use parables, which were kind of like earthly stories that had a heavenly meaning to them, to illustrate and point out spiritual truth. And so we're really doing a similar thing here in this series where we take modern day stories, movies, and we use them to illustrate biblical truth. And so I have three movies lined up that we're gonna do this with over the next few weeks. There was one movie that I considered doing instead of the three that we're gonna walk through. And I thought about actually spending all 3 weeks on it. I thought you guys would love this movie. So check out the title of this movie, Green and Gold, right there. I mean, that's bound to be a classic, right? It's gotta be a great one. Maybe another day. But today we're gonna start with a movie that received an interesting reception, and that 4 out of 5 movie critics gave it a negative review, but 4 out of 5 moviegoers gave it a positive review. And I saw this movie earlier in the summer with some friends, and while it's not going to land in, you know, my top 10 favorite movies of all time anytime soon, it was refreshing to see a movie that was clean and relatively family friendly. You know, those are hard to come by in this day and age. So to introduce you to this movie that we're going to use to illustrate biblical truth today and kind of give you some context, go ahead and check out this first clip.
I love it. I mean, it's just such a great car. It's got great cup holders. I remember our cars didn't have cup holders growing up. You guys like cups, right? You have a bunch of them? I mean, by the way, y'all have a teenager, right?
Yeah. My name is Nate Wilcox, and I'm the best car salesman this side of the Mississippi.
This right here, safest car on the road. This right here, the loudest car on the road.
A lot of people think selling cars is just a bunch of big fake smiles and handshakes, but not for me. It's all about understanding my customers' needs, and I mean, like, helping them actually solve problems.
You're going to college, right? Look, everybody's going to be driving trucks and flashy cars. You want to stand out. You want to be rememberable. This is how you do it right here.
A minivan?
Of course a minivan. Dude, I drove one of these in high school, and everybody loved it. I was homecoming king.
You were?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a small school, mostly girls, but the point is, they still talk about that van to this day. It's even got a cooler inside, dude.
Yep, that's how I sell cars, and it's worked out pretty well for me so far. I'll tell you, I am living the American dream. I live in a beautiful neighborhood. I own a beautiful home. I have 3 great daughters and an incredible wife. What can I say? Life is good. I'm the breadwinner, and Katie's a stay-at-home mom. I know that may sound a little old-fashioned, but for us, it's all about having a good work-life balance. I handled work, Katie handles life.
Mom, please!
No, you're so impatient. You can use it when I'm done. Conceited.
C-O-N-C-E-I-T.
Mom, have me spelling at me again.
Is she spelling correctly?
I don't know.
Yes, I am.
And she's great at details. Our whole world is run from this color-coded system she made. I don't always know what the colors mean, but I'm not the one, you know, who picks up the kids, so I kind of don't have to, I guess.
Buy Sam a horse?
It's on the calendar.
Yeah, nice try.
I can't hear you. What you said?
But it's not like Katie does everything by herself. I help. One of my jobs is taking out the trash, and I never, ever forget that.
Wait, it's trash day? Wait! Okay. Sometimes I do forget to take out the trash. But look, if I did everything right, this would be a pretty boring movie.
So it's The Breadwinner, and it's a comedy movie about a family and some of the challenges they face when life brings some unexpected changes. Now, to kind of set the stage for how we're going to use this movie, I want to start with just a little exercise here, okay? So I'm going to put a fill-in-the-blank statement on the screen, and then I want you to finish the sentence in your head. You don't have to think too hard about it. Just whatever comes to mind, you fill in the blank. So here we go. Here's a statement. I am a, and you just fill in the blank in your head. Don't overthink it. Just fill in the blank. Okay? Now, I want you to hang on to that for a few moments, and I'm going to show you a clip of Nate. And as you watch, I want you to think about how he might fill in that blank. Let's watch.
Put three on the board. Dude, I don't know what it is, but I am killing it out there today.
My guy, that's what I'm talking about. Here's your coffee, just how you like it. One cream, 14 sugars. Hey, how many times have you won Salesman of the Year now? Six?
I don't do it for the title, man. I do it for those Titan tickets. I do it for my family, because there's nothing they love more than looking up at that Jumbotron and seeing a stadium full of Titans fans cheering my name. That's the best day of their year, seeing me up on that Tron.
Yeah, you're a true family man, Wilcox.
Right. No, she didn't. That's amazing. Well, you made a great choice with this car. It's going to last you 20 years. You won't need another new car till you're 50.
Oh, stop.
I'm just being serious. Ugh. Here, Dennis, here, we'll take you to my office, okay? Yeah. Miss me.
Peyton, put some pants on, okay? I can't have corporate seeing you like this.
Is that a lady's shirt?
Yes, it is. I'm just sick of losing to Nate every year, so I've changed up my strategy. I'm going to target the ladies. Oh. And then, Pax, bring in the checks. You see that?
Not that.
You see Toyota dance? You see Peyton dance? You see Toyota dance?
How long have you been practicing this?
45 to 50 minutes this morning.
Those Titans tickets are yours.
So Nate's a car selling machine. So we've seen all the awards that he's won in the opening clip. Here we see the mug, world's best salesman, the Jumbotron of the Titans game. So think with me, if we handed Nate that same fill in the blank, I am a, how do you think he would fill it out? Probably, I'm a car salesman. Or maybe he even go beyond that and say, I'm a 6-time car salesman of the year. Okay, that's Nate. But now let's go back to how you filled it out. Now be honest here, no, don't be lying in church. How many of you filled in that blank with something you do? I am a teacher. I am a mom. I'm a business owner. I'm an athlete. I'm a student. See, for most of us, our reflex, like Nate, is to fill in the blank with something we do. Now, there's not anything inherently wrong with answering that way, but there is a danger in it. And here's the danger, that if we're not careful, what we do can quietly become who we are. You know, I read this week how identity theft has hijacked people of millions of dollars. In 2025 alone, the global cost of identity theft exceeded $50 billion. One report said that an identity theft happens every 14 seconds in the U.S. And probably most of us have experienced some form of this and the pain and the frustration it brings. But you know, there's another thief out there, Satan. And he's not out to hijack our money necessarily, but our God-given identity. And he does this many different ways. He uses hurt, pain, and trauma, other people's opinions of us, the things that they say about us. He uses cultural messages that come through the media, movies we watch, social media, stories we read, all kinds of different things. He does this to hide, to confuse, and to distort our true identity. And one of the messages that he harnesses is that you are what you do. And this morning, I want to show you why we must reject this lie and what the truths are that we must embrace instead. So if you have your Bible and want to follow along, I want you to turn with me to a very famous passage of Scripture found in the book of Ephesians. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at one verse, verse 10. So Ephesians 2:10, and this one verse I want to show you is made up of three different parts. So Ephesians 2:10, turn there with me if you want to follow along. It'll be on the screen as well. And we're going to read it together. So it says, "For we are God's handiwork." That's the first part. Then it says, "Created in Christ Jesus to do good works." That's part number two. And then here's the third part, "which God prepared in advance for us to do." So there's one verse, really three parts. And with the rest of our time, we're going to walk through each of those parts and unpack the truths that we must embrace. So let's start with this first part, "for we are God's handiwork." Okay, here's the truth. Truth number one, identity is not built through what I do. It's established by who God says I am. Now, I want you to notice that the verse says we are. In other words, this is who we are in Christ. We are God's handiwork. Now, if you go back to that verse, you can put it back on the screen. That word there, handiwork, can be translated a couple different ways depending upon the translation of the Bible you have. Some will say handiwork. Some will say workmanship. Another one will say masterpiece. And I recently learned about an independent Japanese watchmaker. His name is Masahiro Kakuno, and he will spend an entire year handcrafting one single watch. One single watch. And many of the components will be uniquely tailored to the exact specifications of the person that will be wearing it, including adjusting it to their home latitude. So it keeps up with, it even kind of shows you the length of daylight, all these different things. And many people refer to his watches as a masterpiece. This is the idea when it says we are God's masterpiece. We are not generic or mass-produced, but we are intricately and uniquely created by God. And listen, if you look at this, if you look back with me, if you put the verse back up on the screen, look back at verses 8 and 9. It says, "For it is by grace," we're starting right here, "for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, that so that no one can boast." So 8 and 9 tell us that salvation is not something we can earn. It's something we receive. It's a gift. It comes to us, we receive it by grace, and we lay hold of it through faith. Understand, it's the same way with identity. Identity is not something that we earn. It's something we receive. It's the reality of being in Christ. We are his masterpiece, his workmanship, his work of art. This is our true identity. Now, why is it important that we learn to embrace this? Well, this next clip is going to illustrate this for us. So Nate's wife has a business idea that takes off, and she needs to fly across the world to South Korea for a couple of weeks. And to help her, Nate decides that he's going to step back from work and into a different role while she's gone. I want you to watch what happens to him.
Bye.
Bye.
Have fun.
I love you guys.
Don't worry about a thing. When you get back, the house will be exactly like you left it.
Dad, the front door's locked. Do you have keys?
Nope. Just keep waving. We'll put Sam through a window in the back.
Yes!
All right. Who's getting dropped off first?
Dad, you're like not even driving in the right direction.
To your school?
To any of our schools. Wait, do you not know where our schools are?
I know where your schools are at. I know where they're at, but just to be safe, I'm going to put them in GPS. So everybody, say your name of your school out loud. Go now!
Ooh, can we do laser tag instead?
No, just give them your school, or I'm gonna call mom at the airport.
So you're gonna call mom and admit you don't know the locations or names of any of our schools?
Yeah, I will. I don't care how bad it makes me look.
B-L-U-F-F-I-N-G.
Nope. Look, I'm gonna count to three. Someone tell me the name of your school. One, two.
I dialed for you.
What? No. No, Sam, give me the phone. Sam, hang on. Sam. I was just.
You were just what?
No, I would. No, I was just.
Just say it. Admit it. Just admit it.
No. I was just.
I'm
watching. Just give it back.
I don't have it.
Sam.
Say it. You were.
Okay. All right. Fine. I was just bluffing.
I knew it.
Will you please hang the phone up?
You miss me already?
What are you doing back here?
Just reminding myself I'm still good at something. Hey, I noticed my picture's gone.
Well, it's an employee photo and you are no longer an employee.
Man, I didn't quit. I'm on leave.
I've heard that before. I think you need to just figure out where your priorities are.
I did. They're with my children.
Great. Okay. Well, it hurts to hear you say that out loud.
Come on, man. If you had kids, you would understand.
I do have kids.
What?
I have 5 kids, but you never hear me talk about them at work.
Where did you get kids?
Is this guy bothering you? What happened to your shirt? Did a volcano explode on it?
Yes, that's exactly what happened to this shirt.
You'd be in the hospital. Volcanoes are very hot.
What is this?
Peyton's my number one guy now, Nate. That's what this is.
Uh-huh. You can't leave with company property.
This was a gift from Dan.
Sorry, buddy. Not personal, it's policy.
Dude.
What? I don't make the rules.
You're the floor manager. That's literally your job.
This is mine now.
So, when what we do and the results we achieve become who we are, we're actually setting ourselves up for an identity crisis. Because here's the reality, what we do can change. Like Nate found, one day you can be the number one guy sipping from the world's best salesman mug, only to find out that the very next day, there's a new number one and the mug no longer belongs to you. Which means, if we build our identity on what we do, then when the day comes, when that thing goes away, or we lose it, or the ability to produce in the same way we did, then we actually lose ourselves in the process. And this happens all the time. We build our identity around being a parent and raising kids. Well, what happens when the kids move out of the house and move on? Or maybe we build our identity around our athletic prowess and how good we are at a sport. And then you turn 38 and you go play a casual game of pickup basketball and you blow out your Achilles. What now? Or, you know, we work our whole life for retirement and, you know, it's fun for a little bit, but then you realize I don't really know who I am apart from not doing what I did. And we get lost. And then we start grasping for what we think can bring us true security and satisfaction, and in the process, fail to realize who we are in Christ and the good works he's created us for. See, what we do can change. Who God says we are, that never changes. We are God's masterpiece, his workmanship, his work of art. This is who we are. Identity is not built through what we do. It's established by who God says we are. Now, this leads us to the next part of the verse. Look back with me. So look at the first part. It says, for we are God's handiwork. But the next part says that we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So notice the order here. It starts by saying, we are this. But now it uses the word do, that we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. First part talks about who we are, but now it moves to what we do. See, God gives identity but he also gives assignments. Identity never changes, assignments do. But the order of those is extremely important. Assignments are downstream from our identity in Christ, which leads us to the second truth we must embrace. Truth number two, what I do for Christ flows out of who I am in Christ. And when we get that order correct, we will naturally walk in the good works that he has created us to do. But if we confuse who we are with what we do, we can mistake one assignment for not only who we are, but as like this one assignment is our ultimate purpose. And we can miss many other of the good works God created us to accomplish. So as the movie progresses, Nate's wife, she needs to be out longer than she initially thought. And to handle things on the home front, Nate calls in his roofing contractor to take care of the kids and do some of this stuff. This frees him up to get back to doing what he believes is the good work that he was created for, selling cars and becoming salesman of the year. But here's the thing. Because his identity is wrapped up in car sales and becoming salesman of the year, he fails to see that there are other good works that he was created for. Which brings us to this next moment. So Nate is at his daughter Hadley's spelling bee. She's been preparing for weeks. She's anxious. She needs dad there. But at the same time, the car dealership is throwing a party to celebrate Nate on becoming yet again another salesman of the year. And he has to choose between the two. Let's watch what happens.
Your word is duopoly.
Duopoly. D-U-O-P-O-L-Y. Duopoly.
That's correct. Settle down. Everybody settle down. Order. Our next competitor is Hadley Wilcox. Woo! Sir, please.
Sorry.
Your word is systematic.
Systematic.
You got this, Hadley!
Woo-hoo!
Sorry.
Sir.
I'm sorry.
This is a spelling bee.
It's not the vibe. I'm sorry. Sorry. All right.
Systematic. S-Y-S-T-E-M-A-T-I-C. Systematic.
She got it wrong.
That's correct.
Oh, there we go, Hadley! Come on, everybody.
Spelling is unpredictable, man. That was a wild ride.
Yeah.
That's not how I spell it.
Oh, looks like your boy abandoned you again, Dan, huh? He's probably loading up power cards for his kids at Dave & Buster's right now.
No, he wouldn't do that to me.
Just saying. He doesn't care about you or this place. He never did.
He'll be here.
I-O-N. Cushion.
That's correct.
Hey. Psst, psst. How many rounds is this?
How many rounds?
Yeah.
Well, they just keep going until there's only one kid left. Have you not been to a spelling bee before?
They didn't have them when I was in school. I think they had them. I think maybe just you weren't in them.
That's correct.
Hey, I gotta run to the bathroom. Watch what I see.
Watch it.
Yeah, just make sure you know
when you come back. Instead of sitting there, why don't you come up front? Sit next to your guy right here.
I'll meet you in there.
You got a little something.
Wow.
Never fear, your salesman of the year is here.
All right, Nate.
That's my guy.
That's me, his guy.
This is awesome. I'm so excited. Let's get going because I don't have a ton of time.
Where do you have to be that's more important than this?
Nowhere. I got nowhere to be. I got nowhere to be, all right? I'm just, like, excited, all right.
And with that, we are down to our final two contestants. First up, Hadley Wilcox. Your word is diphtheria.
Can you please repeat the word?
Diphtheria.
Diphtheria.
There it is. Thank you. Thank you. I don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to make this quick. A lot of people want to say the dads can't have it all, and I'm here to say that's not true.
Yes!
Look, it's amazing to win Salesman of the Year. It is. But the real prize will be when I go home, and I open that front door, and I hold up these tickets and see the looks on my kids' faces. All right, thank you.
Wow, isn't he the best? Now, this vehicle is for sale. What happened?
I lost, Dad. And you would have known that if you haven't left me in the middle of the competition.
I was gonna come back. I thought I could make it.
Well, you did it. You did it.
Hadley, it's going to be okay. There's going to be other spelling bees.
I don't even care that I didn't win. I just wanted you to be there. You told me not to put all my self-worth into a dumb contest. But look at where you are right now. I just want to go home. Please, just take me home.
Okay.
Don't you hate it when your kids call you out on something and they're actually right? See, earlier in the movie, Nate coached his daughter not to find her self-worth in how she does at a spelling bee. Yet because his identity rests in what he does and what he achieves, he misses the good work that was there for him that day, being present with his daughter. See, here's where I think the problem lies. So I think Nate was asking a question like, as a car salesman, what's the good work for me today? And through that lens, the only answer is claim the award and those Titans tickets. But in asking the wrong question, you see what happened. He actually limited the scope of his good works to his job. But what if he had asked a different question? What if instead he had asked, as God's masterpiece, as his work of art, what's the good work he's created me for today? You see the shift? Because now the answer is completely different. Now the works aren't limited to one arena. They can actually happen anywhere, whether it be at my job, whether it be at a spelling bee, wherever it is. See, something similar to this actually happened to me yesterday. So I was a little bit behind and trying to pull all this together. Sometimes I get into these movies and I go, why did I pick this movie again? Like, I don't even know how I'm going to use this. And so I'm trying to pull all this together. And at the same time, my family is going out to Dunlap Day, small little carnival if you've never been there. And so I'm thinking, and the kids really want me to go. So I'm thinking, well, like, I'm a preacher. And the good work for me today is I gotta make sure this is prepared for tomorrow, because this is the good work God has created me for. That's how I'm thinking. But then I start thinking about this verse and what I'm preaching. And I said, wait a minute. Yeah, preaching is not who I am. It's an assignment. But I also have another assignment. And that's my kids right now. And so yes, preaching on Sunday, that's a good work. But being present with my kids at a carnival and making memories, that's also a good work God's created me for. And so even if it was just an hour, even this verse even challenged me in my thinking to go, man, it's really easy to think about what I do. Is this is who I am, and these are the good works I produce. But when I remember that, hold up, I'm not just what I do. I am who God says I am. Then the scope of where those good works can occur begins to, it's much broader. See, when our identity is rooted in who God says we are, we actually open up ourselves to walking out more of the purpose for which God created us. So we're talking about truths we must embrace about our identity. We've said identity is not built through what I do, it's established by who God says I am. And we said, what I do for Christ flows out of who I am in Christ. And now this brings us to the last part of the verse. I want you to look back at it with me. It says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And here's the last part, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Which he prepared. I love that word, prepared. And this leads us to the third and final truth. Truth number three is I can walk with confidence knowing God has prepared good works for me. He's prepared them in advance. Now, it reminds me, last night I was out to eat and I ordered sweet chili Thai sea bass. And it was incredible. But you realize before I ever tasted it, everything had to be prepared. The fish was selected, the sauce was made, it was seasoned, it was glazed, like the bed of like noodles and stuff it was put on, like all those things, and it was plated, and the plate had my name on it back in the kitchen. And it's really the same way with our good works. When we understand that we are God's masterpiece, we come to realize that I don't have to strive to like invent good works. They've already been prepared for me. I just need eyes to see them and to confidently step into them. And when this happens, our focus shifts from what's the good thing I need to like do today. And it's more about, God, just help me to recognize the good works you've already prepared for me to walk in today. And you know what? When our focus is there, there's actually a peace and security that comes to our lives. And so in this last scene of the movie, we begin to see a glimpse of this peace and security in Nate. Let's watch this last clip together.
I also left Toyota to run sales at Starminder Inc. Now I'm Katie's number one guy. I mean, I was before too. You get it. We finally found the right work-life balance. We're in this together now, which is how families should be. Sam?
Give me.
Please make it last past the second quarter. Hadley, vegetables? You sure you don't want fries?
N-O.
Popcorn for Gracie.
Thanks,
Brian.
Dad.
Thanks, Mr. Wilcox. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Okay, babe, so Hadley has practice for her spelling bee regionals next Tuesday, and Sam has a ride with Cinnamon. I mean, I could do Hadley if you want to.
No.
No,
I've learned my lesson. I'm not missing anything spelling related ever again, unless it's a word I don't know, which is a lot of words.
Perfect.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, please turn your attention to the Jumbotron.
Oh.
And give a warm welcome to West Corners Toyota Salesman of the Year.
There we go.
Peyton Mahar.
He deserves it. I guess the pecs do bring in the chicks.
You're my salesman here.
I'm your only salesman.
Also attending today's game, a local inventor and entrepreneur recently featured on Shark Tank.
There's more than one way to get on the Tron.
What?
Please give it up for the inventor of the Starminder, Katie Wilcox.
So at the beginning of the movie, his dream, his motivation for everything was being on the Jumbotron with everybody chanting his name. But now the Jumbotron moment comes full circle, and not only is he able to celebrate Peyton, but he's excited to shine the spotlight on his wife and her recent accomplishment. Now, hear me. I'm not using this clip to say that the way Nate did it, quitting his job and changing careers, is what you need to do to walk in what God has prepared for you. I'm simply using it to say that when we embrace the truth that God has already prepared the good works for us, two things happen. Number one, we can confidently step into them, what's in front of us, and we can actually celebrate what God has for others, because we know that just as God has prepared something for them, he's also prepared something for me, and I want to walk in what he's prepared for me. So in closing this morning, I gave you a fill in the blank. We'll put it on the screen again. I am A. And we all filled it in. And many of us, maybe with something we do. Maybe others of us filled it in with something we've done. Like a place we've messed up or whatever. But here's how God's word would fill it in based on Ephesians 2:10. I am a masterpiece. And more than that, I am God's masterpiece. That's who I am. That's who you are. If you are in Christ, you are His masterpiece. Not what you do, not what you've done. You are who He says you are. So this week, each day, I want you to start with a simple prayer based on Ephesians 2:10. Here it is. I'm going to put it on the screen. I want to just encourage you to pray this each morning this week. You just pray, Lord, thank you that I am your masterpiece. Open my eyes to the good works you have prepared for me today and give me the confidence to step into them. In Jesus' name. Begin to pray that prayer. And as you're praying the truth of Scripture, here's what happens. You're renewing your mind and you're inviting God to begin the process of helping to realign your identity in who He says you are and letting your purpose, the good works He has prepared for you, flow out of it. Amen? Amen. I want you to stand to your feet. We're going to pray as we close. So Lord, we thank you for the joy that it is to gather together and worship you, have your word opened, and how Holy Spirit, how you direct your word to the exact place of need in our heart. And so Lord, right now I pray, even in this moment and this week, you would begin to illuminate and reveal places in our lives where maybe we've come into agreement with lies about our identity. That we are what we do or what we've done or what somebody said about us. Lord, I pray you would help us to realign our identity with the truth of who you say we are. That we are God's masterpiece, that we are chosen, that we are saints, that we have been redeemed, that we are loved, Lord. Help us to see, open our eyes to see who we are in you. And as we do, Lord, I pray you would open our eyes to the good works that you have prepared for us, whether it be at our job, whether it be at school, whether it be standing in a line waiting for a coffee, wherever it is, open our eyes to see the good works you've prepared for us and give us the confidence to step into them and walk in them, Lord. I thank you for that reminder today. I pray your hand of blessing would rest on each and every person here today. Pray you'd fill us with joy as we leave this place. And it's in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Give him praise, church. He's good. He's good. Church, have a great day. You are God's masterpiece. If you need prayer for anything, come on down front. We'd love to pray with you. Hope you have a great Sunday. God bless you guys.